What it do, baby? It's your boy Lamar. I got my boy Brian with me. He's an avid basketball fan, super smart guy, very knowledgeable. He's here today to talk about all the great topics in the NBA. We got some great stuff. Let me introduce y'all to Brian.
Hi, how are you? This is Brian Pasiak, good friend of Lamar's, like you just said. And we're going to talk all things NBA. And I guess where we're going to kick it off is with the Knicks and their current situation.
So we're going to jump right into this. So we got the Knicks. Right now, they're a dumpster fire. And this is perfect because we kind of got opposite views on this. I'm going to start with Brian and see what he thinks their current state is and what he thinks they should do going forward.
Yeah, anybody that thinks Santa Claus is going to, any Knicks fan that thinks Santa Claus is going to bring the Knicks a winning season next year, don't hold your breath, because the cap situation is bad through next year. They're slightly over the cap as it is now. The only contract significance coming off this summer is Marcus Morris at $15 million. A couple of small ones like Alonzo Trier and players like that. But Morris at $15 million is all that's coming off. So, I mean, they got to just be bad for another year, basically. Keep making draft picks. Because then in the summer of 21, $71.5 million comes off. Randall, Portis, Gibson, Payton, Ellington, Nitalinka, Smith, Bullock at a combined $71.5 million. Come off next summer. And where Lamar and I differ is what to do from that point, because I think that's when the picture starts brightening. I got definitive views as to what I would do at that point, maybe a little different than Lamar's.
So next year, LaMelo is probably a number one or number two pick. I think the Knicks need to go for him. I think you need to bring at least a beginning promising star power in, and he would be that guy.
He may be that guy. The question is, do you want Daddy Ball poisoning your locker room? The Lakers, surprise, seem to be more harmonious without that. And possibly a Cassius Stanley, possibly the young kid from Georgia, whose name escapes me right now, might be better fits than LaMelo Ball at that point. Because you're going to remember, you're going to get another high pick in 2021 because you're going to be bad next year. So LaMelo Ball would only be a small part of that equation. Do you want Pops polluting their locker room? Because then again, in the summer of 21, is bringing us into what free agents do you go after? At that point, when you have $86.5 million in cap money, is that enough to get three high-end guys? Maybe not. You might be looking at two and a really good one, whatever. The cornerstone guys in that class, Leonard's not coming there. He's not leaving L.A. Giannis is not coming there. He can extend in 2020. He's going to get his money then. I think Hayward can also extend in 2020, and Lord knows with his history, he ought to get paid immediately because he's a walking accident, it seems.
So, you just gave me three people, two superstars, one fading all-star. So, now the next crop is what?
The two I would set my sights on are Drew Holiday and Bradley Beal. Holiday, within the league, among his peers, is very well-respected.
And a hooper.
Very well-respected. And seems to get kind of overshadowed at times, but make no mistake, that within Knicks got a problem with guys spurning him for other destinations. A Holiday sign could be like, wait a minute, maybe they finally know what they're doing after all. And as far as Beal, I mean, it's a lot of money to pay for his skill set, but that's kind of what it demands at this point. The Knicks may have to stick their neck out a wee little bit to get that kind of guy. And then it becomes a question of who's the third guy you bring in. Diamond Mitchell's restricted, so I don't see that working, because AD, you want to play three guards, kind of like, let's say, the Rockets do. If Mitchell spurns you, then what are you left with? That's risky. Victor Oladipo might be a good third guy.
Okay.
You got a year and a half to see if he gets healthy.
Okay.
But maybe the better fit still, I'm not sure Lamar and I agree on there. I'll get his view first and give you who I think might be the good third guy to bring in there, because it would be a money fit and the ceiling's pretty high.
So my I got completely opposite. I'm kind of more, they need to just blow this up right now. Kind of trade off.
They can't blow it, right? I mean, you can trade more. You got to trade Morris. Morris is an asset at the deadline this
yes.
year.
Yes.
But you can't take back money that goes past 2021. No. It's very important.
But if you could steal a pick, say a 2021 pick, that is okay. Probably. If you can get a potential high seed playoff team this year, you know, say like, say even like Miami or something like that, you know what I mean? Or Boston. You know, but I doubt Boston would do that. But if you can get a team who's going to be making a playoff run, who his style of play is very valuable to
sure
any
is.
Team.
Sure is.
You could flip him. Yeah. Then you get into the draft. You get Melo or the other person, but I'm going to go Melo. You got Melo, Barrett. You got a groundwork of where you need to go.
You get another guy in 2021.
Yes.
So, I mean, because, again, you're going to stink again. It's going to be another lottery pick. The question is the third guy.
Yes.
To be honest with you, I think Justice Winslow would look good there. He's struggled with injuries the last couple of years, but he's still a young man at that point. That ceiling is mighty high. He might want to spread his wings. He's a traditional forward more so than trying to shoehorn a third guard there. I think that might be a guy to target. So if you brought Holiday, Beal, Justice Winslow,
okay.
I'm still a fan of the Barrett pick, and then two more draft picks. Now you see where the picture starts to brighten a little bit, but it's not going to brighten next year. The Knicks are possibly a 60-loss team again next year. So, I mean, with that segues into the next topic, and Lamar and I have different views on this, is the coaching situation there.
Yep.
I think Mike Miller's not a half-bad fit. At least you got to give it a chance.
When? So that's the good – so right now, Fizdale's out.
Fizdale's out.
What do you do in the interim? Do you sign someone or you ride it out with the assistant coach until the end of the year?
Who are you getting midseason? Who's right. sitting on their couch or the wants it? I mean,
dude, I'm on know, the people, couch right now.
People, yeah, really, we're on the couch right now talking about this, but they're not paying us. I mean, I'll take Scott Perry's job, but I don't think it's advertised just yet. So, off the street right now, it's hard to get somebody. Are you getting somebody over the summer that knows you're going to be that bad next year? I mean, I think the Miller thing is worth a shot. If it's a complete disaster, let's say, you could rid yourself of Miller after 2021. But I think right now he's probably the best option because, again, if you're sweeping him out now, you might as well sweep Steve Mills and Scott Perry out now. Scott Perry hasn't been there that long by GM standards. I'm kind of willing to see what he can do given a little more time.
Okay.
And like I said, I think Miller in league circles, kind of like the Holiday signing, would garner respect. I think the Miller... giving Miller a shot gets him a little respect within league circles as well.
So what you think the difference between Miller and Fizdale is?
Fizdale's never had a chance. I mean, people thought that they were better than they are. Now people know they're a dumpster fire.
Now, I thought they were a dumpster fire prior to this year when they put all the baskets in and whoever got in Dolan's ear thinking that they were going to get Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant never even said, hey, I want to go to the Knicks.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you got to learn from that mistake, okay? So, all right, Kevin Durant didn't come. You learn from that. That's why this time around, I don't think you waste time chasing Kawhi Leonard. I think making a smart signing like Drew Holiday, making a smart signing like Bradley Beal,
But are those long-term picks you picking? Like, are you going
to
get them?
I think you have to get in there. Because of the Knicks' recent track record, they may have to slightly overpay a guy like that. Because, again, I don't think the big stars are walking through that door. I just don't. And I think you could take a core of Holiday, Beal, Winslow, Barrett, 2020 pick, 2021 pick. Now, all of a sudden, I think you got something there.
Okay.
I really do, especially in the East, where, you know,
you can go from the bottom to the top.
You
three.
Go to the bottom to the top quickly. At least there's a blueprint there.
Yeah.
When we first discussed talking about this, I thought, well, why we spend time in the Knicks? They're hopeless. They're not hopeless after next year. They're hopeless through next year. They're not hopeless after next year. But if you spend your summer whiffing on, you know, Leonard and Giannis, and you end up with guys along the lines of Bobby Portis, like right. This year where they signed every power forward with a pulse.
Trash.
I mean, crying out loud.
19
people,
power forwards.
For people old enough to remember, I thought they bring Elvin Hayes out of retirement at age 62. So, I mean, you know, at least there's hope in 2021. And I think a realistic, emphasize realistic, game plan at least gives Knicks some level of hope, particularly in the East.
Okay, so the Knicks have potential to bounce back if they can pretty much get a blueprint, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of money, you know, $86.9 million is a lot of money available yep. in 2021. So,
besides the blueprint, they need to drop them ticket prices because it shouldn't be $150 to go see a game.
In a nosebleed.
In a nose, yeah, exactly.
You had a stiff Spike Lee's cologne. Take a second mortgage in your house. You know?
So the next topic we got right here, we're going to segue right into Portland, which is another, they're not a dumpster fire by any means. They got a lot of talent, but they've underachieved. And this offseason was supposed to be a catapult after the postseason last year. They were supposed to catapult to pretty much stay in the top three. Nobody thought they were going to be number one, number two, but they've underachieved. And I feel like Portland, I think they have no system. And I do think they need to start playing defense. They're another team that puts up a lot of points now. In the beginning of the season, they weren't putting up points. But they play no defense. They have a isolation-type squad, but it's two guards. Now you picked up Melo, who's...
Well, let's get to the first one. If you're playing no defense, what in the world is Hassan Whiteside doing there? I mean, you're not running plays for the guy. He's supposed to correct your mistakes in the middle, so, you know... Why was that move made if you're not playing? If you're not defending, because
I agree.
You're not building the offense around him. Certainly, so
that's true. But do you think Zach Collins? So let's say, let's just talk future. Say Zach Collins never got hurt. Do you think he makes that much of a difference right now for this team?
Sure, he does. I mean, you gotta remember he wasn't in college for long, so I mean. Yeah, just starting to scratch the surface of potential, certainly. It's a guy long-term that has a nice high ceiling for him. I would say you want him as part of your future plans, put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. But Zach Collins, even though he's injured, he's a trade asset because of potential. And that segues this perfectly into this Kevin Love move. Now, I don't think this Kevin Love move catapults them into the top five. But I do think this gets them out the gutter, out the mud, pretty much, and it gets their shoes clean.
It makes them interesting, if nothing else. It makes them really
definitely. But if you bring Kevin Love in, you kind of, Whiteside is kind of just sitting in the paint.
Well, Whiteside would probably go back in a deal to make the money work.
That's true.
As we were saying, Reds did some reading up on this subject today, and a prevailing thought anyways is that Whiteside would have to go back to the Cavs. Kent Bazemore would go back to the Cavs. And
trash.
Who in the world gave him that contract? You know, I'd like to send a resume for that gig because I certainly wouldn't have done that.
Indeed.com?
Well, really, or whatever. But I don't think taking back contracts gets his done. I think there's got to be an asset going back to Cleveland. And this particular article mentioned Collins, mentioned Anthony Simons. And Simons is the guy I would send back if I had to, if I was Portland. And Simons is probably the guy I'd want if I was Cleveland. Because Portland clearly wants to do something now with committing that money
to
Lillard and McCollum. Simons, while certainly a nice ceiling for sure, is so young, so raw, that I think you could afford that going back if that was only impingement to a Love trade. So I think when it comes right down to it, I kind of think this deal will happen. And I think for it to happen, Portland's got to be willing to send Simons back to the Cavs.
But what does that leave you with? That leaves you with CJ, Dame. You run Melo at the three. Kevin Love. You kind of empty at the center. Who plays center?
What's the book on Juric? Is he getting healthy this year? I
mean, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
So you kind of, but I mean, truthfully, they don't need a center, I guess, per se, because you could kind of run Kevin Love at the center, stretch out the floor. Yeah, you could stretch it out. I think that boosts them up. That makes them fighting position. Yeah, that makes them relevant. They could jump back to the 8-7 seed. It puts them
better than, say, Utah. Who I think. I was never as high in him as most people, and that's kind of playing out right now.
Playing out.
It could put them ahead of a team like that. It makes them relevant, like we said, certainly. Yeah,
I agree. So the next topic we have is the something's missing. Now this topic is something's missing with the team that will get them over the hump. We got three teams. We got the Nuggets, the Sixers, and the Rockets. And I know you're probably thinking, what are you talking about? The Rockets and the Nuggets are all top four teams in the West. But something's missing.
The Nuggets were 14-6 two nights, and another 14-8.
Yep.
And when me and Lamar first started talking about this, they're the first ones that came to mind. And that's proof positive that when I see them this year, in full disclosure, I'm a Rockets fan. So, I mean, the first team I want to watch is the Rockets. If they're not on, my next favorite team over the last year to watch has been the Nuggets. But this year, like I said, something's missing. Jokic looks like your Uncle Fred running the Sunday afternoon game at the Y when you watch him, but yet he's so effective. And last year, I think he snuck up on people. They didn't even know what to do with him.
Yep.
Who's this big, 6'10", 7-foot guy that size handling the ball. Now, you hear in the NFL, give the coordinator offseason to crunch film. They're going to find ways to stop him. And I kind of think that's happening this year. He just doesn't look right.
No.
I think if they're going to go anywhere lofty, it's because of Jamal Murray. And right now I think he's a little nicked up. And if it goes sour, he'll be the first guy at the ESPN knuckleheads will say when's he getting traded.
Yeah.
And when he's right, he's the prototype NBA one because he's kind of a hybrid. And I think he's the one that's going to take him places they haven't been because Jokic doesn't look quite right. And, hopefully if there's something going on health-wise with Murray, it doesn't last long. Hopefully they get Jokic right because there's certainly time. But just something's missing there right now. It's hard to put a finger on.
It's hard to put a finger on it, but they got pretty much their big three is him, Gary, and the Joker. And so you're pretty much running a two-point guard and a center. Your small forward is kind of up in the air. Eventually, like Brian just said, I think if this doesn't jump off the ground, they're not making it out the West, honestly. You know what I mean? They may get
bounced. They got to get right in a hurry. They got to figure out what it is that's going wrong in a hurry. Because
they can't score, which when they played the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of games in the 90s.
They're not scoring this year.
A lot of games in the 90s.
And that's been a struggle. Like the last week, the Lakers with the underdogs, which was crazy to me, the underdogs 2.5, and the Lakers end up blowing them over 10 points. And at halftime, they barely putting up 40 points. And it's like, what's going on? Why can't y'all score? And like he just said, I do think they figured out the Joker, which is crazy because he's a bucket. He plays solid D. I think he gained a little more weight. So he's not as agile, and they got film on him.
The only possible thing, unless he's hurt and not letting on, I don't know. I mean, but just he's not the same guy that I saw in the playoffs last year. He's just not. Yeah. And people think I'm overanalyzing because they're 14-8 and yada yada yada. But I saw the Celtics slap him around about a week ago. The two losses more recently that have come up. I mean, the expectation was such that 14-8 should have been more like 18-4 for them right now.
Yeah.
And it's just not there. And something's missing. This is the best I can say. Something's missing.
Something's missing. So the next team we got is the Philadelphia Sixers. Starring Embiid. Starring Ben. Well, hit his third three-pointer of the league.
That's, you hit on the head there, Lamar. Starring, okay? Because who now is the veteran guy that's going to reel them in? J.J. Redick's gone. He was a great fit there. He's gone.
Jimmy Buckets.
Butler's gone, but quite frankly, was he part of the problem too? I just don't think he was the greatest fit there. Who's the veteran guy that's going to reel him out? Tobias Harris? I mean, Tobias Harris kind of came out of nowhere.
And is he even a veteran, though?
And is he even a veteran? Exactly. And who's the veteran guy that's going to reel him in? I don't think the chemistry's great. I don't think Ben Simmons is great. I still think, and this is for another podcast, I still think Brandon Ingram was the best player in that draft. Was, is, and will be. Another story. But, you know, the fact that they're in the East will mask some of their problems. But, again, if the goal is to win a championship, I think something's missing there, too.
So, with that, something is missing. I think they had a failed offseason. They were in a tough pickle.
It wasn't the best. No, it wasn't the best. They kept Harris. Other than that, it wasn't the best, no.
But, see, you know, to me, Harris is a – this is wild to say, I think he's a poor man's Jimmy Butler.
I think so.
Because what does he give you? What is one thing that he gives you that's exceptional?
I just think he's a production. I think it's his biggest
thing. So he's a production, but he doesn't shoot a good three ball. He has a terrible drive game. His defense can be there. You know, it can be there. But you can find that in anyone else in the league to do what he does. And they need a third person to give them 20 points. Because Embiid, as much chirping as he's doing this year, he's getting outshined.
You can't rely on him. That's
and you can't rely on him.
He puts up some clunkers, as does Simmons. So yep. Where's the horse, to be honest with you?
Well, I guess it was Horford, maybe. They picked up Horford.
Okay, yeah. I mean, maybe Horford's a veteran guy to reel him in. I don't know. But when I think of Al Horford, he's just... He's just a quiet pro, goes yep. about his business, which is great. I don't think he's the guy that's going to get in somebody's grill there.
No. He was the wrong fit for them.
I think they need that guy. Yep. And if you're putting me on the spot to who would be that guy, I'd really have to think about it. But something's missing. Something's missing.
So the last team, and this is a top three, potentially top two, they got the number one guy in the league right now scoring efficiently, getting buckets every night, five games over 50 points, tried to break Kobe's 81 game, is James Harden and the Rockets. Or I should say James Harden and Russell Westbrook, the Rockets. Now, I'm going to start
it's
this.
James Harden and the Rockets. I love the Westbrook trade, but I mean, you know, it's James Harden's locker room, make no mistake about it. And Westbrook's been playing good and all that, but
But has he been playing good? Because he's shooting a low from the
Westbrook? You're talking about
yeah.
You're talking Westbrook.
Yeah, he's not shooting.
Yeah, he's never been Mr. Efficiency. No, anyways. He's not an analytics darling. He's never going to be. The biggest problem there is the depth. As I was saying to Lamar, yeah, I mean, as a Rockets fan, I got my fingers crossed that Eric Gordon, I think, will be back eventually. Can't be soon enough because he's missed right now. And hopefully Gerald Green gets back for the playoffs. Those are two big losses. Those are two key cogs late last year. The depth really isn't there right now. I mean, they've resurrected Ben McLemore, it seems, who I always liked.
McLemore.
So they're getting some good ball out of him. But other than him and 85-year-old Tyson Chandler, the depth sometimes is lacking there. So I guess all you can hope for is that, you know, they will their way to 57, 58 wins. These guys get healthy. And it clicks at playoff time. But at this second, something is kind of missing.
Something is missing. You know? Because, I mean, if I could pinpoint it, the defense is one thing that is just
it's not there.
Obsolete.
It's not there.
They play no D. And I guess, Blade is a fan of D'Antoni. But since D'Antoni's been in the league, any team that he's coached on has never been a top five defensive team. That's not his M.O.
No,
but offensively, they're always top five, which is okay, but come playoff time,
you got to be able to D up. Yeah.
You got to be able to D up.
The thing is, though, I mean, there's talk now that if they don't win the title, he's gone. Where are you going? Who's going to reel in that locker room? Is some young snot-nosed kid going to reel in James Harden and Russell Westbrook? No. So I think D'Antoni's a winner, and certainly as a fan, I hope that they get where they want to be because I don't want to see – a different coach next year. I think his personality fits just fine. The offense a little different here. It's not like when he was coaching Steve Nash, but I think he's the right guy to run that locker room. So I'm hoping certainly that it gets where it needs to go.
But definitely something's missing.
Something's missing.
Lastly, you know we had to end this with the Lakers, who right now...
Lamar wouldn't let me in the front door if we didn't. So.
Nope. Gotta end it with the Lakers. We're going to go with Bron James, AD. I want to know if he thinks this is going to be a potential dynasty team. If he thinks they're going to score over 100 a game and keep these folks under 100. If he thinks they're going to win the title, and what he thinks about that Clipper-Laker game on Christmas Day. So first off, I just want to know, how you think we look this year?
Well, it's amazing how things work when you, as Belichick says in football, just do your job. James is still the best player on the planet. And by now, I didn't think he will be, quite frankly, at this age, but he still is. Give him credit. And I think he's playing as well as he is this year because he's doing his job. He's the best player in the world. He's playing ball. He's not trying to be the GM. He's not, you know, chirping about this, that, or the other on Twitter or whatever. He's playing ball. He's playing ball. And he's doing a heck of a good job at it. And funny how it works, they're 22-3 because they're taking care of business. When you take care of business and you do your job, it's amazing what happens in this situation. Again, they're 22-3. If this template stays in place, they can win 64 games and possibly win the title. The problem in the past with LeBron James has been he tries to play general manager. And when February comes, that gets awful tempting when you're saying, you know, to the front office, hey, you know, let's go get Andre Iguodala, or hey, let's go get this guy or that guy off of a team that's struggling and improve our fortunes. So if he sticks to his job, there's no reason they can't reach all of their goals as far as winning a lot of games, winning the title, yada, yada. The problem is, can he resist that temptation at the end of February? He's kind of got something to prove this year because the redhead stepchild across town, you know, their marquee player, spurned LeBron James's Lakers. And I don't see Mr. James as one that wants to share the mantelpiece in his town. So he's kind of got something to prove this year. And you put James in a situation where he's got something to prove, where he does what he's good at, he's pretty dangerous. Yep. As far as dynasties and all that, that's something that's built over several years. If they were to fail this year, I think Mr. Kuzma might want to call his realtor. because then James will want someone that's more of a veteran, more quote-unquote his guys to come in, and that's your big trade piece. But another thing this year, too, the Rondo pickup was shrewd in that Rondo at any stop, I don't care where, whether it was Boston, Dallas, whatever, he was never going to be your focal point guy you build around. He's the classic Robin. He needs Batman there to take the bullets and deflect criticism and all that. He's been given a job description this year. He's filling it well.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have to be a franchise guy. And that's worked out well for him for the Lakers also. So the Lakers actually, contrary to some recent years, have made smart moves.
Now, why you say smart moves?
Well, the Vogel hire was a good hire.
Now,
bringing Rondo to do a job was a good move.
The Vogel hire, the Rondo bringing him back because we had him last year, Jared Dudley, go and get Avery Bradley, go and get Dwight Howard. We got a lot. Oh, how could I even forget about Danny Green? And then the stellar one, the big dog, AD. Now, I know maybe a year ago I was talking to you, and boy, did you despise my boy Rob Pelinka. You thought he was going to come in and shit the bed. Now, I just want you to tell me, did he do a great job?
Well, great depends on if they win the title. That's how the Lakers look at great. Great. I mean, we thought win totals and all that. You know, love or hate the Lakers, they're judged by did they win the title.
Yes.
He's done a better job than I thought.
That's all I wanted to hear.
I thought he. I give credit where it's due. I owe you credit where it's due. He's done a better job than I thought he would. I think it started with the Vogel hire. If he messes that up, a lot of things go off the rails.
And that could have got messy, but it worked out really well.
It worked out really well, and it's continuing to work out. Because
we got
well.
a solid
coaching staff. Wish I was coming on. I wish the Lakers were 11-14. I'd be unbearable on this right now if the Lakers were 14-11 or whatever. But I got to give credit where it's due. They've done some things that have worked out. They're certainly formidable. And, see what happens. It'll be an interesting next whatever 5 months, whatever it is, to the finals. So
LA Bron and AD, the best duo in the league right now. Let me just throw that out
there.
Sure.
Yeah, you're not going on a limb there. Yeah. Absolutely. I thought by this point, Davis would have taken the mantle from LeBron as the best player.
I think he's coming up. It's close.
Oh, maybe. I thought it was going to happen by now.
Yeah.
James is taking good care of himself.
James is definitely taking good care.
He's taking good care of himself.
The move to point guard, that was, this offseason, Vogel had expressed that they were going to try and dabble it out. And that actually was the best move to put him at the point guard, keeping LeBron kind of out of the paint, per se, and letting AD eat down low.
I think as he gets older, he'll be more in the paint. So, we're talking about with Jokic and something's wrong this year. If you give coaches an offseason to crunch tape and say, wait a minute, how do we deal with LeBron James playing the point guard? They may have answers for next year. I think 38-year-old LeBron James is a power forward. They'll stick him inside and he'll back guys down. So I don't know if this is some long-term thing.
But right now, it's the perfect
Now, yeah. you're 22-3.
Run with it. Run with it.
You know? Exactly.
Do you think next week's game, Christmas Day, we got a lot of great games on Christmas Day. Do you think that game against the Clippers, you think it's a must win? Do you think it's a statement game?
It's not a must win, but it's certainly a statement game. LeBron James is not like sharing the marquee with anybody. And he's got this little snot-nosed kid across town, and Kawhi Leonard, that, he likes to take his maintenance days, and he's spurring the Lakers for the Clippers and all that. And, I think Mr. James will want to assert that not so fast, we're still the big sheriff in town.
Yep.
And what better stage to do that than Christmas Day? So I would think the Lakers come out strong, and I'm not all that shocked if, let's say, the Lakers win that game on a late shot by LeBron James.
Ooh,
that
would be epic.
Yeah. I mean, you'll certainly be screaming and hooting and
hollering. Yeah, Lord. LeBron.
I could see something like that happening that day, certainly. I wouldn't be a bit surprised at that. So we shall see.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for listening. It's been a great time with my boy Brian. I appreciate him coming.
Oh, thank you, Lamar. Thank you.
I'm going to ask him his three favorite things to do. That's how I like to end these shows, kind of make it more relatable. What are three things that you like to do that you think other people don't do that you would like them to do?
Three things. It's an open-ended question. But three things come to mind. I do like to take care of myself and work out. I've cut about 30 pounds. I want to cut another 20. No fast food, no pasta, no ice cream. Those are my three pillars.
Ice cream in the wintertime.
If you're talking TV show wise, I don't watch a lot of TV, but in the spring and summertime, when Animal Kingdom is on, I don't answer the phone. I thought it was about the worst concept for a show when I first saw the previews on it.
Now, what is it?
Then once I started watching, it was hooked. It's a summer series on TNT. It's based out of a crime family. It's in Oceanside, California, near San Diego. And it just kind of builds from there. There's a lot of high stakes thievery, and they call it doing a job, where there's high stakes heists from art galleries. They're not holding up 7-Elevens. They're going to art galleries and robbing places like that.
Okay.
Laundering the money. It's high stakes crime, if you will, and the plot kind of revolves around them as a crime family.
Nice.
And if you're talking this time of year, what occupies a good chunk of my time is my brother's a Division III college coach at Northern Vermont University in Lynn in Northeast Vermont.
Shout out Vermont.
No doubt. And Well, he's up in Vermont trying to win ball games. I still live in Central New York, and I'm going around and watching high school games. And potentially, if the player I think's a fit, I establish contact for him, hopefully to recruit those kids. And particularly if you're a big kid, if anybody listens to this and your 17-year-old kid is an inside player and has some game, LyndonHorns.com, we want to hear from him. So,
there it is.
So that's...
Now, how can they hear from you? How can they... What do they need to do to reach out?
LyndonHornets.com, LyndonHornets.com is my brother's website.
Okay.
And at that level, like in the Division III level, where... The aid is not athletic based; it's need based, it's academic based, and you're recruiting. It's a lot of times smaller high schools. The hardest thing to find is bigs, and particularly since inside plays become a loss hard as it is. So
yep.
When I go watch games for them, if it's game A or game B, I'm gonna go watch a game where there's a potential big man prospect. That's the hardest thing to find at the small school level.
Big men, get out there, get in the gym, get in the post.
Get in the weight room.
And get in the weight room.
Get in the weight room. That's the big thing.
Not every big man got to shoot a three. You still need big men in the post.
It helps they can step out for sure.
Yes. Look at AD. You got to be versatile.
You got to be able to go inside as well for sure.
Yep. Well, thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
This is Big Dope.